Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle is dead. It is a mystery what happened. He crashed a small plane that he was flying into a 50-story condominium in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, 72nd Street, right near the East River. And apparently two people are dead. And, of course, New Yorkers had memories of the September 11th attack in their minds when they saw the news and some saw the plane crashing into this condominium. So it's unknown what actually happened, what caused this, why, if it was an intentional suicide or some other tragedy. But, of course, it's fascinating, and it brings us to remember the horrific attack on our country, which was our Pearl Harbor. Our meaning this generation's Pearl Harbor. Okay. Now, in other news, I've wanted to get to the Wisconsin lawmaker who proposed arming teachers, principals, and other school personnel with guns as a safety measure and a deterrent. Now, as a general rule, it's a good idea for people to be armed. That's a good thing. An armed society is a polite society. And I have often told the story of a friend. In fact, his family used to advertise on Bob Benyart Live, and he was in his 90s. And the last I saw him was about 10 years ago, and I know that he passed on. But he told me the story when he and his brother would walk to school in Colorado to a public school. So this is 75, 80 years ago. This is 80 years ago. That they would carry their guns with them. And in the cloak room, they called it the cloak room, they would hang up their coat and their gun belt and leave their guns in the cloak room. And on the way home from school, they'd get their guns. Their guns were loaded, of course. And what's the use of an unloaded gun? They'd get their loaded gun from the back of this classroom, the schoolhouse. And on the way home, they'd hope to come across a rabbit and shoot the rabbit and bring it home to their mother for dinner. And back then, we didn't have an epidemic of kids killing one another. And it wasn't especially surprising that the kids would bring their guns to school. It wasn't even an issue, as my friend told me. Now, today, what has changed is our culture has become a culture of death. And the law has made it legal. For example, in Colorado, we starved to death four-year Dylan Walborn at the recommendation of Children's Hospital. The parents went to Children's Hospital and their ethics committee said, hey, it'd be fine for you to starve your son to death. And it took 24 days to kill little Dylan because he was handicapped. Okay. So we live in a culture of death. Evolution has replaced God, and the strong can kill the weak. So we have abortion, infanticide, and these are epidemic. We're starving to death. The handicapped kids among us, doctors suffocating, newborn babies who are severely injured during delivery, and even in euthanasia of the elderly and the infirmed, becoming more and more acceptable and even legitimate and declared legally valid. In Colorado, the state voted on partial birth abortion, and this is a vote that I tend to put out of my mind. It was so horrific, but the people of Colorado voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. So we're a society that promotes death. We promote death. So what has changed from 100 years ago to today is not that people have guns. They used to have more guns than they do today. In Colorado, this was a frontier state. People had guns. Kids had guns. They grew up with guns. They bring their guns to school. And so today, because we have a culture of death, and our laws have violated God's enduring command, do not murder. Now we have to figure out, okay, kids are unsafe at school. So what do? Arm our teachers. So that's an idea. Arm our teachers. But I got an email here saying, I'm hearing about arming public school teachers to protect the students, but we have a problem. Then the teachers could molest their students at gunpoint. A moral vacuum plus guns equals a disaster. Yeah, good point. One way to protect your kids from school violence is to homeschool them. That's a great way. Homeschool your children, and then you've protected them from school violence. So homeschooling is a really, 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 really good idea. And Brian Rohrbaugh has reminded us that after Columbine, the day or two after Columbine, so many parents said, my children will never set foot back in that school. And then seemingly all of those parents sent their kids right back to Columbine High School. And I predicted that Hillary Clinton would make, I was in jail, convicted of being a good father when Columbine happened. I was in jail. And I remember the inmates, we could see from our cells, the Jefferson County Command Center, a big RV with antennas sticking out of it and a satellite dish. And the command center was gone. Somebody had driven it away. So the inmates were saying, wow, I wonder what's going on. The command center's not here. Then the news, you know, just minutes later, let us know also about the Columbine murders that were taking place. And so you have Columbine parents that, you know, what percentage of them? Well, certainly there was no mass exodus. It seemed like most all of them put their kids right back into Columbine. And the prediction I made, I was doing this show, Bob Benyert Live, from in jail. Now, I think that's in our archives at kgov.com. And I know we did one of our Bible study albums from jail. It was James and Jude. James and Jude. How do you do a Bible study album in jail? Well, you call. I would make calls. And there were limits on how long you could be on the phone. And I forget the details, but it was something like this. It was something like 420 minutes local and 480 minutes long distance per week. So it's real constraint, you know, that they put on the inmates. And that's all I was allowed to use the phone. But I suffered through it, right? Being in jail, I had a sentence. I was in jail at that time for about 2 months. And I had been charged with being a good father. Did you know that was a charge? You could be charged with being a good father. I had spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside, and for that was convicted of child abuse. And I've since put that on my resume, that we love our kids more than we fear social services. And God has honored our love for our children, and they love us, and that was many years ago now. But at any rate, I was in jail at the time when Columbine happened, and I made a prediction that Hillary Clinton, who it was announced she's coming to Colorado, that she would make Columbine into a model school, that it was the best, a model school. And sure enough, she came to Colorado, and her big line was, we are all Columbine. We are all Columbine. So obviously Columbine did nothing wrong, even though their curriculum would teach kids there are no absolutes. There's no right or wrong. You decide for yourself. Everything is relative, moral relativism. And we've evolved from slime, we're animals, from goo to the zoo to you, we're animals. And God has been systematically excluded from the curriculum, in fact, from the entire godless public school system. So today, you talk about giving guns to teachers, and, you know, it's reasonable for adults to be armed. That's fine, except that the teachers have to time our criminals. If you set up an alert on the internet that you want to have an email every time there's a news article about a teacher who's committed a crime or molested a child or become pregnant from a student, your inbox will get full. And we had a guest a while back who did that exact thing, Danielle Kokoa. Okay. So, all right, let's continue now. So that's in Wisconsin, and the state lawmaker suggesting, well, maybe we should arm our teachers. And at the very least, what that suggestion brings home is how dangerous our culture has become, and especially for our children, people taking it out on our kids. And why would they do that? Hey, it's open season in America on unborn children. You could kill as many kids as you want. You could set up shop, charge $300-$400 a pop, and kill them for $400 each. $450, $480. Oh, if they're older, you could get $3,000, $4,000, $4,500, $5,000, depending on how old the baby is. How close to 9 months? Just ask George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas, or go to Boulder, Colorado, and ask Warren Hearn, late-term abortionist. You make a lot of money killing babies, especially when they're later. All right. So that's why our kids have become targets. And George W. Bush is fighting the war on terror, and that's fine. We should fight and win that war, but he doesn't seem to have much energy for the war on kids, killing kids in America. And I know that now and then he signs a good law, but it's the kind of good laws that many pro-choice people support. Like if a murderer kills a woman and she's pregnant, then he could be charged with two crimes. Right? Or if someone is doing an abortion and the baby comes out and the baby's not dead, that you can't kill the baby after the baby comes out. Yeah, there are plenty of pro-choice people who support such laws. The partial birth abortion ban, wasn't it Democrat Tom Daschle who endorsed that? The partial birth abortion ban? Plenty of pro-choice people support many of the laws that pro-lifers are so proud of passing. And those laws, they help people get reelected and get financial support for their campaigns and get campaign workers and volunteers. But wouldn't it be great to see George W. Bush take on abortion itself, saying that he just had this conference on school violence? He should have watched Brian Rohrbaugh on CBS last Monday night. And then George Bush could have said, because we kill children in the womb, we set up this climate of violence. And we need to stop killing children in the womb. Okay, we passed laws that save close to zero babies a year while we murder over a million, thousands every day. Now we got to stop abortion. But he is proud of the pro-abortion judges he's nominated through his entire career. Nominated or worked to get onto the Texas Supreme Court and then in the federal judiciary. He's proud of the pro-abortion officials that he has brought with him to Washington, D.C. and put into high government posts, including attorney general. So it's tragic that our children have become the targets of the murderers in America, and most of our leaders wring their hands and they don't understand, they don't know why. And so, good people are focusing on, well, we need more security guards at the schools. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. You lock down a school like Fort Knox and some kid will open a classroom window and throw in a backpack with guns or a bomb. The answer, there is the liberal approach and the right-wing Christian approach. The liberal approach is Try to make it so that no one can commit a crime. Make it so they can't commit a crime. The right-wing approach is try to make it so that they will not commit a crime. It's either their ability or their will. And the way you affect people's will is by the law upholding fundamental morality and by the deterrence being swift and painful, severe deterrence. And then that will lead to having a culture that's not filled with violence. And people don't instantly transform themselves from generally young kid, nice kid, goofy kid, law-abiding person to rapist, murderer, mass murderer. That doesn't happen instantly. There is a process they go through. And our culture, our godless culture, network TV, our media, our movies, and our laws play together, and our godless education system play together to raise up murderers. So that's what we got to fix. Now, eBay, you know, I love technology. I used to work for Microsoft. I wrote for PC Week on and off for a few years, and then they hired me full-time. That was a major Ziff Davis industry publication, PC Week, very influential for quite a few years. And that was a blast. I loved it. And I love what the internet can accomplish, and I see the benefits of technology and information on people's lives. But look at time after time after time, the big companies become godless, of course. And why is that? Jesus said you can't put new wine into old wineskins, and that the majority tend toward hating God. And so you should expect that anything run by a committee, anything run by an institutionalized a corporation is going to turn godless. Well, eBay has banned the selling of homeschool teachers' supplies. Just startling. And now they knew it would be too obvious a move against Christians to ban just homeschool supplies, teachers' supplies. So they banned all teachers' textbooks, including for homeschool teachers. You know, homeschool, every school has teachers' supplies. Every homeschool, the mom usually, sometimes the dad, sometimes both, they're the teachers. And so Christians have responded back quickly, and the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA, has set up an alternative auction service online for homeschoolers who want to auction off their homeschool supplies. So good for them. Good for HSLDA. Bad for eBay. And eBay put out a position statement on why they've adopted this new policy. And it seems obvious to me that their goal was that they didn't like the fact that homeschoolers were being so effective exchanging materials on eBay, so they outlawed all teachers' manuals. Not outlawed. So they prohibited all teachers' supplies and textbooks from being sold on eBay. All right, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, George Soros, you've heard about him, right? He's the leftist billionaire who hates corporations and big business because they're greedy, yet he traffics in currency, international currency exchanges, and he will attempt to destabilize the currency of a nation and literally seriously hurt millions of people in that country for some period of time while they recover from when he has worked to destabilize their currency. But in the process, he'll make, you know, $60 million overnight when it all comes to fruition, or more. And so he's a typical liberal, right, who is a hypocrite. And he's filed a Freedom of Information Act with the U.S. government, actually with the U.S. Secret Service, demanding information about the visits by Christians to the White House. He wants to know how many people of faith who has been visiting the White House. And so Donald Wildman, the founder of the American Family Association, he said about George Soros, he said, bring it on. Bring it on. He wants to know who we are. Bring it on, George. And that reminded me of Brian Rohrbaugh responding to the president, the national president of Planned Parenthood, who said she never backed down from a fight. And Colorado Right to Life, Bush and Alito are not going to take away a woman's right to kill her baby. And Brian Rohrbaugh, brand new board member to Colorado Right to Life, said, hey, we accept your invitation to fight, Planned Parenthood. The fight is on. All right. We also have in the news just a couple more stories. That's all we have time for. A Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in Tennessee, his name is Harold Ford, Harold Ford Jr., he referred to himself earlier this week as a lawyer, but it turns out he's not a lawyer. He failed the bar exam. That's in February of 1997. He took the Tennessee bar exam, and he failed it, his campaign is now admitting. And that reminded me of Dave Kinzel when he was on this show. He had been, for about 20 years with local network affiliate TV stations in Denver, longtime friend of Bob and Yurt Live, and he would tell us the inside scoop of the secular media and people and their opinions of what was going on at Bob and Yurt Live and the things we were teaching. Anyway, so this guy, he's not a real lawyer, but he did play one on TV once, maybe. Maybe that was it. Or maybe he's not a real lawyer, but he probably stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Something like that. So maybe he thought that lawyer is liar. Maybe that's what he thought. So when he said he's a liar, maybe he said, I'm a liar. And people thought he was saying he's a lawyer. And the two words, you know, they're related, of course. Lawyer and liar, they go together. We have a video called The Trouble with Lawyers. What a video. And we have a handful of people calling in, mostly law school students. And it's so funny. You know, I argue that they're trained liars. They lie. They'll do whatever they can typically to get convicted murderers, rapists, criminals, people guilty of assault, kidnapping, whatever, to get them acquitted if they at all can. Or they'll take your side if you have the just side of a dispute. Or they'll take the other side if that person got to them first with the money. Right, a child custody case, whichever side pays them, that's the side they'll take. Even the Christian lawyer will take the side of the mother who's become an alcoholic and she's sleeping around. And he'll take her side trying to get her custody of the kids. Right, how many times has that happened? How high can you count? So maybe he was saying that he's a liar and that people thought he said a lawyer. So our video, The Trouble with Lawyers, we have all these lawyers or lawyer law school students calling in and demonstrate how they'll even lie on the show to try to defend the role of a lawyer. And why would you need a lawyer? I mean, in society, why would you need a lawyer? What's the purpose for having a lawyer? You only need a lawyer if the law has been perverted into a tool, a weapon against the innocent. If the law is perverted into a weapon against the innocent, then you need a lawyer. Otherwise, you don't need a lawyer. You don't need a lawyer. You only need a lawyer when the law is twisted into a weapon against the innocent. to become a weapon against the innocent. Then people need lawyers. Otherwise, you don't need a lawyer. The government should not recognize the position of a lawyer, a counselor, as though they have some special privilege to be involved in the criminal justice system or our legislative process. It's a nightmare. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, Ken Scott was in court and we have not heard yet because he was being sued by St. John's Episcopal Church. And boy, he had some high-powered lawyers against him, I'll tell you that. I was in there in the courthouse last week as a witness. So we'll let you know. We'll report to you what happened with Ken Scott. The judge was supposed to issue his verdict. And basically, it would be whether or not Ken Scott and Cliff Powell would be allowed to continue to protest at St. John's Episcopal Church. So we'll find out. But that's the church that they have a church official who's also an official with Planned Parenthood. They support the killing of unborn children. They support homosexuality. And they're basically a godless post-Christian church. They're no longer Christian. So you got a lawyer who's not a lawyer, a church that's not a church. And Mike Rosen today on his show was talking about the Amish school murders. And he said, now some people believe everything is God's will. Everything is God's will. Other people believe you got to forgive the murderer. And he, of course, rejected both of those positions. He's not a theist, as far as I can tell. He's an atheist. But what a shame that false teaching clouds the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And millions of people, instead of considering Jesus Christ, they get turned off by the cliches and superstition of Christianity. That's a tragic. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a wonderful school. The best I've ever seen. Check them out. Maranatha.